Good morning, everyone. So glad to have all of you here. We got a lot going on in our worship service today. We got a lot of things to look at and talk about, so we're excited about that. But, you know, we almost always begin our service with an opening congregational chorus that we all sing together. But, hey, special treat this morning as we begin. Dr. Howard White is going to sing the solo, My Tribute, for us this morning as an opening congregational chorus. All right, Howard?
To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done with this world.
Said.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. I'm Leah Ferrar White, Director of Adult Ministry, and I welcome you to worship. It is a beautiful day to worship, and I thank my husband for using his gifts to praise and serve God. Amen. Carterville First United Methodist, we have many ways that you can all be involved. Ways to serve, options for fellowship, and ways that you can be the Lord's hands and feet. You can look at the announcements on the screens in your bulletin online. One way that we have great fellowship is the Young at Heart on the Road. And that meets the second Tuesday of the month, and that will be June 13th. We will be going to Mound City. We'll eat at Huckleberry's, and then we will go to Mound City National Cemetery, where we will have a program, and that should be really fun. And another thing, it's not on the announcements, but I've got some quilts that were just accepted at the Crisp Museum in Cape Girardeau, where we went recently, so I'll be getting a group to go look at a quilt show coming up too. So more information on will follow on that. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship with the prelude and the lighting of our worship candles. For those of you worshiping at home, maybe you have a candle and would like to light it at this time, to celebrate the light of Christ there with you. Please join with me in our call to worship. What is love? A mixture of precious things, like a collection of precious jewels. It enriches our lives in countless ways. Please stand as you're able as we sing our opening hymn, Trust and Obey, number 467. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3.
You may be seated. We're going to take a few minutes this morning and recognize the graduates who are part of our congregation and congregational life. You know, graduation is one of those major rites of passages in our culture and society, and so it's a neat thing to be able to gather this morning and spend a little time celebrating those. So I know some of them are here this morning. We want to recognize those, and we're going to embarrass you by actually having you come forward to receive your thing this morning, okay? So the first one is...
Michaela Etchen.
All right. Uh-oh. Somebody's coming up with a camera, Michaela. All right. Michaela is not receiving a pen, which everybody else was. She is receiving a Bible this morning, and so she requested that. So I'm going to hand this to you. We're going to hold it together. We're going to look at Grandma. Is that nice? All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Dow. All right. Graduated from Carbondale High School. All right. Here we go. Mom, I'm going to let you do this, okay? All right. Somebody get a picture. There we go. All right. And Dow is McKendry? Is that right?
Dow will be going to McKendry.
Headed to McKendry in the fall. Fantastic. All right. And Abby Bonnet, is Abby here? Fantastic. Abby? All right. Now, I don't know if there's anybody to take a picture or not, Abby. Nobody's going to take a picture. Oh, wait a minute now. There's somebody wants a picture. Okay, here we go. All right. Smile like you mean it. Okay, good job. Good job. Younger people right now are saying, don't you tell them when I'm graduating, okay? All right. What about Nathan? Is Nathan here this morning? All right. We will get that to him. And Aaron Streeter or Austin Streeter? Well, we want to recognize them this morning as graduating from the Carterville High School, and John A. Logan, and wish them the very best as they go forward, and we'll make sure that they get their gift from the church. You know what? Let's just spend just a moment and have a prayer for our graduates, okay? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, this is a rite of passage, and whether it's kindergarten or eighth grade or high school or college or postgraduate work, God, it's an important moment. And it moves us to the next phase, the next step in our life. Lay your hand upon these graduates who are here today and those that we've recognized, Lord. May your blessing be upon them. May they know you, and may your input into their world and their life be a rich blessing. God, we just ask for the families and for the homes of them, Lord, to be blessed as well. In your name we pray. Amen. Congratulations again. So we are in to seeking God's guidance and ask if you have a little book this morning, if you'd like to join us in the chorus. We're going to sing Bind Us Together. It's number 2226 in this book, if you need that.
Bind us together.
So, Lord, we are completely dependent upon you. You must speak into our hearts. You must speak into our lives. And then, Lord, a lot of the time you must help us to do what you're asking us to do, because we're just what you made us to be, Lord. We're just human. We're not superpowers. We're not extra strong. We are fragile, and we are weak. And so, Lord, hear our prayer to guide us, direct us, to strengthen us, that we might serve you in all ways. We ask this, God, in your holy name. Amen. Amen. I invite our prayer leader to come forward this morning to pray our, and share our prayers, that we will join together in the response after each one. Lord, hear our prayers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have two prayer concerns to share with you this morning. The first one is from Beth Laird, and she is asking for prayers for Melinda McCowan. Melinda was admitted into the hospital last night. Lord, hear our prayers. And our second concern comes from John and Angie Etchen, and they are asking continued prayers for Gatlin Turner. Young Gatlin Turner. Gatlin has been released from the hospital, but he will be staying in Texas for follow-ups for several weeks yet. His siblings and his family have arrived in Texas over the weekend, and he has a very long recovery ahead. Lord, hear our prayers.
We're going to move into a time of pastoral prayer and invite you to pray in your pew. If you'd like, feel free, come and join me at the altar this morning as we spend this time in prayer together. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Dean will play a little transitional music, allow you time to move forward if you'd like to. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Simply because we are your children, your sons and daughters, and you love us that way, and we are precious to you. And that's something we don't earn, God. It's just your gift, and we are forever thankful for it. Lord, as we come together this morning, we celebrate those who are going through graduations and recognitions, God, in a variety of different ways, and we lift them up to you, and again, Lord, just ask your blessing upon their journey. God, we give you thanks for those who are experiencing healing in their lives, God, and your touch upon each of them. We ask your blessing to be upon them. Lord, for those who have health struggles this morning, God, we lift them up to you. And we know, Lord, many times that that path for healing is not quick and it's not easy. And so, Lord, we pray for them to have strength and endurance. We pray for them, Lord, to know that you are with them every step of the way. And, Lord, we know that you are the great healer. And you have created us to heal. And so, Lord, we pray for that healing. Lord, we pray for that healing, though not only for people, but we pray, Lord, for that healing for our world as well. Now, the news around us so oftentimes is bad. World situations that are in crisis, violence, Lord, that is so many places, God. And Lord, we just pray for that. Lord, it's not like we don't know in many situations what the answers need to be. Answers of grace and answers of forgiveness and answers of love. And yet, God, we still find ourselves unable to meet those challenges so often. And so, Lord, we lift that up to you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless your church, that you would bless this congregation, and that you would bless your church universally. And all of its varieties and all of its flavors, how it meets and all over the world, God. Help us to keep central, Lord.
the message of Jesus Christ. And they offer, Lord, of love and grace and relationship, God, that that brings to all people. Help us to be an extension of that in the world in which we live. God, I thank you for each home and each family and each person who has gathered here this morning, and ask your blessing to be upon them. We thank you for this beautiful day and for all the things, Lord, that you bring into our world. There are things of beauty and warmth and grace. God, hear our prayers as we raise them to you this morning. And God, hear our prayer as we pray together, Lord, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 368, My Hope is Built. We're going to be singing verses 1, 2, and 3. If you promise to sing out, you can remain seated this morning. 368, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Plate for the worship service is located in the vestibule just back out of the doors. For those of you who are online this morning, you can give either by sending or by going on the website. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious and loving God, you give each of us gifts to share with one another, to share with the communities in which we live, the neighbors that we have, and to share with you and to share in your kingdom. So, Lord, for these gifts, in the variety of ways you give them, we give you thanks and praise. Please receive them as we offer them back to you and bless them.
for the work of your kingdom and your church. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture this morning, select verses from 1 Corinthians 13. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
So this morning we're looking at part two of what we began the week before last week, which was Mother's Day. So we're looking at what love is. And so we're looking into 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter, the love chapter of the Bible, and looking at what are the ingredients, the aspects of love. And so in looking at that, I want to begin with a story this morning. Probably most of you here remember Stephen Covey and his bestseller book, which was Seven Habits to Highly Effective People, followed by a number of other books. Well, my wife was a certified Stephen Covey trainer for years and years and did lots and lots of workshops. So his world was a part of our home and family and life, and he went all over the world doing leadership stuff. Well, he had a little routine that he would go through a lot of times when he was doing a large audience thing. And he would ask someone from the audience to come up, ask them a little bit about their life, find out about their family and their children and all. And then he would say, okay, so pretend we're on the top of the World Trade Center towers, when the towers were still there. And he would say, there's a beam that goes across to the other tower from where we are. And I'm going to give you $1,000,000 if you'll walk that beam across there. Will you walk it? And they would say, let's be having some technical problems. And they would say, no. And then he would say, well, I'm going to give you $5 million if you walk across that beam. Will you walk across it? And they said, no, not for $5 million. Okay, 10. $10 million. Nope. Okay, I'm going to give you $20 million if you walk across that beam. Could this get any he got it. Okay. And they would say, no. And then he'd say, okay, you mentioned your children earlier. And he would pick out one of the children that they talked about and said, your child is over on the other tower and they're going to die if you don't save them. Will you walk the beam? Yes, I will walk the beam. Why? Because they finally found something that was worth more than their life. They found something that they loved. This morning we look at these aspects of love, and one of them is that love always protects. And we kind of know that, don't we? We see that around us all of the time, that aspect of love working to protect those who are around us. But I want to add just kind of another interesting dynamic to it, because I think it goes beyond one of our common understandings of this, looking beyond ourselves and see this. So I'm going to tell you a little story. When it was probably eighth grade, freshman in high school, we lived on my grandparents' farm, and we lived in a mobile home that sat really close to a large strip mine lake. I was real little when they had mined that, but it was there. It's covered several acres, and there's a big L. And so I grew up around that, okay, all of that around that. And so one of the things, sometimes during the summer, that I enjoyed doing was I would go and sit on one of the high banks above that water, and I would watch for turtles. I'd take my single-shot .22 rifle, and I would try to shoot them. Now, I realize that doesn't reflect terribly well upon me. But quite honestly, I was just scaring turtles, because I don't ever remember actually hitting a turtle. Because I wasn't a good shot then, and I'm still not now. So I'm sitting there, and my brother's dog, which is a border collie named Teddy, is sitting next to me. And all of a sudden, his ears go, and he looks, and then, like lightning fast, that dog moves behind me. Well, the neighbor across the street from us, and we lived out in a rural area, so it was a gravel road, but the neighbor across the road raised Dobermans and sold them, and he had one big male, and he had told us that that is a dangerous dog, and if it ever gets out and you're outside, you need to go inside. Because he says, I can handle it most of the time, but it is a dangerous dog. And so, right behind me, about 3 or 4 feet behind me, our dog and that male Doberman hit in midair, and a vicious dogfight follows. The owner of the Doberman is running across the road. He jumps in on that and breaks all of that up. But that dog, our dog, kept me, I think, from being mauled by a very bad, vicious dog. Why did that dog do that? Why did that dog do that? You've probably all seen this before. An animal that builds an affection for someone who acts to protect that individual. Now, it's not universal. It doesn't happen all the time. But we all know that story. I don't think it happens with cats very much. But it happens with dogs all of the time. And it happens with other animals as well. And there are other stories of this kind of thing happening. When they build an affection, which simply says what we're talking about with the dynamic of love is not just a human thing. Creatures that learn how to give and receive affection operate in some of the very same ways. They experience some of the very same dynamics about love that you and I experience in terms of working with that. But we also understand that love is not just protection. That's not the only ingredient in the concept of love. Because if it was, you and I would all spend all of the resources we have building fortresses. We would put our loved ones in those fortresses, and we would never let anybody close to them. That's like real protection. But what we're finding as we look at this text is that love is not one thing. It is never just one thing. It is this multiple connection of things which interrelate to each other, and protection is one of the dynamics of that. We allow our loved ones to take risks sometimes in their lives because that's what they need to do. And that sometimes goes against some of the other aspects of what it needs to offer the protection that we think so many times when we're looking at these words and we hold them in isolation from one another. The next thing he talks about is trust, that love always trusts. Do you think you can have a loving relationship without trust? You're all thinking, is this a trick question? Can you have a loving relationship without trust? Well, I think you can. Over my career, I have known any number of situations, couples, maybe married couples, maybe not married couples, and for one reason or another, the trust in that relationship gets violated. But sometimes what I've discovered also is that the other ingredients that are a part of the love equation are strong enough that they learn to endure through that hardship and move back into a renewed relationship. And while the trust can be violated and for a time is absent from that relationship, it doesn't mean that it won't ever return. It doesn't mean that it won't come back. I have known parents who have tried to love a child who they knew they could not trust. There might have been a problem with alcohol. There may have been addictions. There may have been a lot of other things going on in that relationship. But they knew, without a doubt, that that child would lie to them, that that child would steal from them if they had an opportunity, that there would be things like that that happened in this relationship. And they knew they were not able to trust that individual, but they still loved that child. They still tried to care for that child. They still tried to offer whatever they could in terms of that relationship for that individual, even though they knew they could not trust them. Because another dynamic in the whole equation of trust is truth, isn't it? We talked about that last time. And truth would tell them that that is not a trustworthy person, but that also does not mean that person is not worthy of at least some part of the love that you have to offer and to give in that relationship. Sometimes trust can be restored. Sometimes we can live into that and find a way back to that. And it's true that if there is no trust in the relationship is damaged by that. But it doesn't mean that it's void. It doesn't mean that it can't be there. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And what it also means is love is always trying to put it back. You're always wanting to do that, which leads right into the next dynamic. Love always hopes. Wow. There's a more powerful word in the English language. I'm not sure what it is. Hope. I don't know how many of you know the name of James Stockdale, but James was he was in the Navy, and he was a prisoner in Vietnam for about 7.5 years and went through unimaginable things during that time frame. And he came out and developed what he calls the Stockdale Principle, which he said, the people who didn't make it were the people who always said, we're going to be out by Christmas, and then Christmas would go and pass, and we're going to be out by Easter. And then eventually you have so many disappointments that you just couldn't go on anymore. You couldn't endure any more disappointments. But he said the people who made it believed and had faith that they were going to prevail in the end, but they never tried to deny the brutal facts of the reality that they lived in every day. And that those two things lived in tension with each other. To have faith that you're going to prevail is hope. Hope is about things getting better. I mean, I don't think we ever hope that things are going to get worse. That's something else. That's a different word. But if we're hoping about something, what we're hoping for is that things will improve, that I will get better, that if I'm ill, I will overcome it, that if I'm hurt, then I will heal from that. If something is broken, then it will get fixed eventually. And that is built in to the ingredients of love, is this dynamic of hope. That yes, there are hard circumstances around me and there are brutal facts that I need to face, but I'm not going to give up hope. I am not going to surrender this. I do believe things are going to get better. And Paul writes and says that's a part of loving, is believing in that, trusting in that, being a part of that. The next word says perseverance, that love perseveres. And I don't think you can really separate out the hope and the perseverance, because I think it is the hope that really offers that. But there's an enduring quality to love, that it doesn't give up. We talked earlier about love is patient. Well, part of that patience has to do with these other two things. It has to do with the hope that is a part of that. It has to do with the perseverance that is a part of that as well. And then the end one says that love never fails. Now, if you look at that text a little bit, and if you read it in a variety of different translations, oftentimes it says love never fails. As about as often it says love never ends. So sometimes when you look at that and you think love never fails, it means like love can conquer all things and it can fix everything. And that's not my life experience. My life experience says that sometimes people love in powerful ways and they don't ever get the outcome that they're looking for. Doesn't mean that's wrong, doesn't mean that's bad. Matter of fact, I think it's right and I think it's good. And I think it's patience and endurance and all kinds of things in that. But if we look at it that way, I don't think we look at it biblically correct, because I think the other word fits in there as well. So when it says love never fails, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be fine because of it. What it means is that it never ends. It never stops being. That no matter what happens in the world that you and I live in, love will never disappear from it. There's no power in the world, there's no power in the universe that can take love out of the world in which we live. It just can't happen. The Bible tells us that God is love, that God is the author and protector, sustainer of love. And therefore, it will never, ever go away. There will never be a day that you or I wake up in a world that is void of love. It may feel like it sometimes, but it's not true. It is always there. It is always present. It is always available to each and every one of us. Love is a constant in the world. Not because I say so or you say so, but simply because God says so. And that's the word that matters more than any other word. Love always protects. And trust. It endures. It hopes and perseveres. I wrote it all in the back of here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love celebrates the truth. It protects. It trusts. It hopes. It perseveres. It never ends. We're going to look at the next couple of weeks what love is not, which is also a part of 1 Corinthians 13. But when we look at love is, again, what we're recognizing is the fact that love is a lot of things all together at the same time. And it's kind of like anything. If you're mixing up something in the kitchen, when you get it all mixed up, try separating it out again. That's going to be hard. Love is like that. Once it all gets mixed together, it is an ingredient. And you can't just separate out and say, it's all this or it's all that. It's never all anything. It's all of it together. Working in different ways at different times in different relationships in your life and mine. Love never ends. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, thank you for the day. Thank you for the gift of love. Can't even imagine, God, my life or the world in which we live without it. We wouldn't endure it. It couldn't exist, God. Because in so many ways, it is the glue that keeps us together. And God, some days we get it right and some days we get it wrong. But you are always offering it to us. And we celebrate that. Lord, send us from this place this morning, knowing that every day of our lives we are loved by you. And that we are precious to you. And that love never ends. And it never goes away. Help us to celebrate that every day of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 377. It is Well With My Soul. Number 377, I invite you to stand as you are able for our closing hymn. Number 377. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, love those words. My sin, not in part but in whole, is nailed to the cross. God, send us out from this place as those who know we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to get it right all the time. That you guide and direct our hearts and our lives, Lord. And your love for us never ends. Help us to walk faithfully with you, that as we walk out into the world, we are your salt and your yeast and your light in the world. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In your holy name, amen. Folks, have a great week this week.